Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Heidi ho, neighbors. Welcome to Dudes on Hockey. We're up to episode 73. I'm Mike. That's Doug.
Heidi ho, neighbors.
Yeah, why not?
Where'd you get that from?
I don't know.
You've been watching Mr. Rogers downstairs?
Actually, I was watching South Park a little while ago.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Salty chocolate balls?
Something like that. Similar.
Can we say that?
I think we can.
We just did.
It's too late now.
Dude, you know what I discovered this week?
Mm.
Netflix streaming movies.
Yeah.
Online.
You got PS3 or are you watching on your
computer?
Well,
I've got the PS3 now. Did we talk about that?
I don't know.
Dude, I got a PS3. It's very exciting. And I have NHL 10.
Nice.
I created myself.
Do you look like Semenov?
I don't. No, I look like myself. This is very short and unassuming.
Okay.
And I created myself, and I was drafted by the Detroit Red Wings, and I turned off the game.
That's it.
I did.
Throw it out the window.
I did. No, I turned it off. I refused. I restarted it.
You like pulled an Eric Lindros?
I did. The second time I was drafted by Carolina, and I accepted that.
Well, of course.
That's it.
I would easily take that.
I was partnered with Frank Caberle on their blue line, and I'm doing all right. I haven't been sent down yet, dude.
Good, dude.
I'm also playing as the Sharks in the GM mode. Someone offered me like Dennis Gauthier and like a third rounder for Setoguchi the other day. I took it.
Yeah. That's a slam dunk.
I like to wheel and deal.
Yeah.
The one thing that I did do that's different is I kept Jeremy Roenick on the team.
Nice, dude.
Because I am determined to win the cup on the game so JR gets his fantasy cup.
That's right.
Fantasy cup, dude.
And I'm sure he'll take that, adding to the pile of all the Stanley Cups he won as being the star of NHL 94. Don't forget. When Jeremy Roenick was by far the best player in that game.
You know he'll take it, dude.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course he'll
excited,
take it.
Dude.
Actually, I went and bought the new COD game, dude.
You did?
For Xbox, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that has nothing to do with hockey, so I'm going to stop talking about it.
Dude, you got to say, pretty good week for the Sharks.
Another great week for the Sharks. And Nashville tonight, I think you predicted that maybe the Sharks might come out a little bit flat. That's pretty much exactly what happened. The Preds really took it to us in the first, you know, half of the first period, and it was kind of lackluster play. The first two periods were a little bit boring. The Sharks led after 2-1, and you know, it was sort of what I expected. And then the third period is when things got much more interesting. The third period was just much more exciting, and Greiss gave up a goal to Marcel Gotch. Yeah.
So disappointing.
And it wasn't
his first goal of the year. This is a night of firsts.
It
dude.
Was a night of firsts.
Former Sharks getting their first goals. That's I right. heard Jonathan Chichu got his first goal tonight.
He did.
After taking 200 shots, he's
right.
finally netted his first goal.
And falling down 200
yeah,
times.
I did.
That's right. So
I also heard that Mark Bell scored his first goal in the KHL tonight.
You can't be serious.
No, I'm
of
not
course he didn't
serious.
Score.
Dude.
Yeah, I know. But actually, the Gotch goal was pretty bad. It wasn't. It was a real acute angle, and Greiss just didn't. I mean, it was a good shot. It was a good quality shot, but it's a shot that goalies should make. It's a save that a goalie should make, and Greiss didn't. That ended up tying the game, and it wasn't. And then they took the lead. And then Boyle made a great play to Setoguchi, who tied it with a rip of a shot off the post. And then Boyle himself took matters into his own hands and actually scored a bit of a weak goal of his own, sneaking it between Dan Ellis's legs with a minute left to play to give the Sharks the win. So I was all sort of steeling myself for the Sharks' first regulation loss, and it just didn't happen. The Sharks sort of woke up. They woke up.
How do you think they played in front of Thomas Greiss tonight, and what was your evaluation of Greiss?
I thought Greiss made a lot of really good saves. He made one just sparkling save where he pushed from right to left to make a glove save. That was really, it was almost Owen Nolan-esque, you know, the one that Nabby made in the playoffs. So, I mean, it was a really nice extension, a good push. I like the way Greiss looked, except for that one goal he gave up to Gotch, which wasn't the best one. I thought he looked pretty good. The Preds were bombing away from the point, getting a lot of traffic. You know, neither of the other goals were Grice's fault. One was, like a tip that I think that looked like it came from a high stick and went right up to the top corner. Uh-huh. Grice completely screened. I mean, he had no chance on that one. And the other one, I can't remember exactly the details, but it certainly wasn't Grice's fault. So I'm certainly happy with his play so far. You can't expect a new goaltender not to give up a not stellar goal every now and again. I want to see more of him. I still want to see Grice play. So, there's certainly nothing that he did tonight that makes me wary. Maybe you don't start him against, the cream of the league if you have a choice. But I still think you roll him out there as much or more than what they've been doing.
They started him against our Stanley Cup pick, the Philadelphia Flyers.
That's right. They
do. You know, I don't think they're going to be shy about playing him. I said on the blog I thought they might play him tonight just because I think the team could naturally be looking towards Dallas maybe very easily.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday, that's a big game. Playing against Dallas is always important for the Sharks because Dallas last year excluded, and I think last year might be a bit of an exception to the mm-hmm. rule. You know, Dallas always seems to kind of have the Sharks' number with their physical style of play. And I haven't seen a lot of Dallas this year, and I'm interested to see them play on Thursday night, but I thought maybe the Sharks might get caught napping a little bit with some of their new players coming in. What's your evaluation of Seto and Ryan Vesey jumping into the game tonight?
Well, Seto had a goal, a great goal, so he jumped back in. Vesey was played on the fourth line because it's just too jammed up top. There was no spot for him, so he played on a line with Staubitz and McGinn. And McGinn had a goal. So again, the fourth line scores. So the Sharks continue to roll, and Scott Nichol got the third star of the night, so that's a third line player getting the star. So Sharks continue to play very well third and fourth lines. So it's good times. I'm going to reiterate what I've said in past shows. You know, Vesey's not a fourth line player. He's just not physical enough. He doesn't play like Scott Nichol does, even though they're roughly the same size. So he's not a guy that's going to stick on the fourth line. He either needs to be top six or we're going to find him shipped back to Worcester. Speaking of Worcester, they shipped Torrey Mitchell to Worcester for another reconditioning assignment. So
I heard that.
The last time this happened,
it didn't end up very well, did
no,
it?
No, didn't turn out so hot.
Well, you know, I can only hope for the best here. You got to feel like that maybe this means that he might be a week away from coming back to the big club, which probably means Ryan Vesey will just be flying right back to Worcester, and Torrey Mitchell will be taking his spot. So, where do you see Mitchell fitting in, dude?
Right now, it depends on if you want Malhotra and Nichol both centering lines. And if that's the case, you could see Mitchell on the third line and Nichol on the fourth.
It looks like that they don't seem to put that as a priority right now.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
They seem to be pretty happy with Malhotra playing the wing and also being able to slide over and take draws. I mean, he's still taking draws,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have the numbers in front of me for tonight, but you know, he still is getting in there and taking some draws, but certainly not as regularly as everybody else. So you think Mitchell, maybe they try him on the fourth line to start? You know, is Vesey the one to go back down? Is it going to be Jamie McGinn? I mean, I still think that it's possible, dude, it could be Jamie McGinn because mm-hmm. they like the idea of having McGinn down there playing, you know, 25, 22 minutes a night,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Logan Couture, you know, building that chemistry, building towards the future, you know, instead of having him just playing 10 minutes.
That could really happen. I don't know. It really depends on how the Sharks see McGinn. He's certainly been effective in a third and fourth line role, and I can't honestly say the same for Ryan Vesey. If he is in a skill situation in a fourth line shift, then he does well. If he's not in a skill situation, then he doesn't do quite as well. So my vote is still Vesey, but you're right. If they want to continue to nurture McGinn and groom him for a future top six forward spot, then maybe Worcester is the best spot for him.
If it was the playoffs, I think they'd be playing McGinn.
Playoffs?
But for now, you know, it's very possible that they could go with the veteran and send down McGinn. I'm taking a look here at Manny Malhotra's faceoff numbers tonight, And it looks like he took six draws. No, sorry, three. He took three. I'm learning how to learn this report. He took three. He won two.
That's not
Scott
many.
Nickel, 8 for 12 tonight. What a monster. Joe Thornton, 8 for 11. 73%. And
it's not even fair.
No, it's hilarious. And you know, Joe Thornton totally faced Jason Arnott tonight. Beat him 4 out of 5 times.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And Arnott's no slouch. No,
that hurts. And the big matchup tonight, Marcel Gotch versus Scott Nickel. Scott Nickel, 1 for 1 against him. Take him down.
Nice.
Yeah, take that.
Yeah.
Take that. All Sharks centers tonight over 50% or 50% on the draw.
Sweet.
Yeah, sweet. Pretty sweet.
So
yeah.
Another happy game. Of course, you can't expect the Sharks to go great guns all the time. A Tuesday night game against Nashville is a prime candidate for a bit of a letdown. We did see it in the first couple of periods, but the Sharks managed to right themselves and get back in it. Another thing I like about the game is every shift following a Nashville goal, there was an amazing quality scoring chance. After the first two goals Nashville scored, the Sharks hit the pipe on the next shift. Mm-hmm. One time Marlowe had a backhand off the crossbar. Another one, I think it was Pavelski, had one off the outside of the pipe. So, and then the third goal, another great chance, big scrum in front of the net. I thought someone was going to bang it in. So the Sharks rebound, sort of find their legs, or, you know, get a little angry after they score and come back and almost score. That's a key shift, as any coach will tell you, the one immediately following a goal. In every single one of those shifts tonight, the Sharks dominated. So another good sign. Maybe they didn't play quite as well as you would hope, but you know, it's Nashville, it's the middle of the year, it's a Tuesday, they still won, take the 2 points. As far as not coming out flat and not you know, playing just okay, how about the beatdown of the Pens on Saturday night? Hello.
Yeah, I think Dan Boyle ripped off his jersey and there was a giant S for Super Boyle.
Yeah,
based on a lot of his play on Saturday and the entire team. Now, granted, you know, everybody was missing some important players here. Mm-hmm. You know, yes. Pittsburgh was without Malkin. They didn't have Maxim Talbot. They did not have Sergei Gonchar. They were also missing Tyler Kennedy.
And Letang got hurt early in the game.
So, you know, those are, you know, five
That's
pretty important players.
Players, yeah.
But we were missing Setoguchi. We were missing Vesey.
Blake.
We're missing Rob Blake. We're missing Torrey Mitchell. So you could say, you know, it's pretty close to being, well, okay, they were missing
not
more
that's not
players.
Even but we
okay
were
but we so we should have beat them. We didn't just beat them, we beat them down.
Yes,
like we beat them badly, and it was fun to watch. Mm-hmm. For sure. And it shows you what how exciting this team can be when they're rolling in all cylinders. Yeah. Marcel Gotch, 29% in faceoffs tonight.
Nice, dude.
Just throw that in there.
That's another game where the third and fourth lines played well. We saw how Boyle can play when his thumb isn't broken or his thumb is healed. You know, he had a monster of a wrist shot after deking two Pittsburgh Penguins completely out of their shorts, making them look like pikers. And then Joe Pavelski steps back into the lineup, immediately has a goal, has another goal tonight. Pavelski hasn't missed a beat, so that's great news. You know, you always sort of worry when these guys are out. How many games did Pavelski miss? 15?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Many.
So that's a lot of games. And you think
he only played the first two games, right? He didn't even get, you know, he did finish the Anaheim game, but then he's been out since. So this is only his fourth game, right?
Sometimes you expect a player maybe to be a little off on timing and stuff. I guess he's rehabbed well, has been practicing well.
He looks good.
He looks great. He looks really great. He had other scoring chances besides the one
he
put
in. 4 games, 6 points, plus 3.
Yeah.
Joe Pavelski.
It's a good time. So
already more points than Jonathan Chichu.
Ain't that the truth?
Dude, I want to ask you a question about Derek Jocelyn.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This is Jocelyn's third game in the Sharks lineup since Rob Blake has been out. And personally, I know they say Blake's going to be out for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of concerned about this. This kind of smells like the Jeremy Roenick situation from last year.
Could be.
If it's a shoulder problem, he's already kind of hinted it's the same shoulder he's had surgery on. And I don't have Rob Blake's medical report in front of me.
Oh, I do. And let me show you.
You do? Go ahead and read it.
Oh, wait, no. These are my medical records.
Oh.
Prostate right. exam?
Oh, wait, oh, whoa. Oh.
Maybe it is Rob
Ouch.
Blake.
All right. Turn your head and cough.
Am I good?
You're good.
Sweet.
All right, dude. Now I've lost my train of thought.
Rob Blake's shoulder,
me with
Jeremy
your medical report. Rob Blake, I mean, certainly we have no information on this, and this is just pure wild speculation, but I'm concerned that he might be out for longer than they're letting on.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if he is really that injured and he does need to have surgery, I'd rather have them do it now than have him like gut out December and January and then be a mess again in February. So if, dude, if that happens, are you comfortable with Derek Jocelyn playing 15, 16 minutes a night like he is right now? Or do you think the Sharks need to make a move to bring in a more experienced veteran defenseman?
Well, first of all, I think if Blake was really hurt, they would have put him on the LTIR right now, which would give them cap relief because he's making $3.5 million. They only put him on the IR. And if he needed surgery, he probably would have had that by now, too. He hasn't. So at least right now, it looks like what's happening is what they say is happening. He's going to be out a couple weeks and be back. Okay. That being said, I give Jocelyn a chance. I thought he played pretty well. He played with Vlasic a lot against the Crosby line on Saturday. I thought he held his own.
Yeah, he certainly got physical with Sidney Crosby, which I was impressed by that. Mm-hmm. You know, he ended up on his butt a couple of times.
He took a cross-checking penalty tonight. We've said that, or we've noticed that about Jocelyn. I don't know if we've said it on the podcast. Sometimes he has a tendency to hit people a little high, and sometimes you get cross-checking penalties, and he took one tonight. Not a lot of penalties in the game tonight, though, so that's not a huge deal. But the fact is, let's not gloss over what is actually happening with Rob Blake, and that is he hasn't been that impressive this season so far.
No, not really.
Right. So I don't know if that's exactly an elephant in the room here, but it's not like Rob Blake has been scoring from all angles and kicking butt. You know, I don't think his plus minus is that good. Not that that stat's always perfect. He doesn't have a lot of points. So Jocelyn, at least for the way the Sharks have been playing, he's a perfectly legitimate fill-in in my view. When we first saw him, we're like, uh-oh, you know, because we see him like fall down, make mistakes and stuff like that. Doesn't seem to be doing that now. He seems to be perfectly capable. So I say ride that out, unless that becomes obviously a weakness for the Sharks.
Sure. I mean, as long as you're winning, there's certainly no problem. And if Rob Blake's coming back in the foreseeable future, then you don't need to do anything about it. I just, you know, we talk about it every week. You know, now we're seeing it really come to fruition with when Torrey Mitchell comes back. The Sharks are so deep up front. They're so deep. They've got guys now back in the minors in Ferriero, who seems to kind of fallen out of favor a little bit.
Yep. Yep.
You know, he played his cards at the beginning of the year. I still like Ben Ferriero. You know, I don't think he's, you know, never going to make it back to the NHL.
No,
but
he'll be back.
You know, he needs to go down, and maybe they want him to play some more top 6 minutes instead of maybe just sporadic 8 minutes here and there a night. But you've got so much depth with Vesey, with Ferriero, with Couture, with McGinn. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys who've proven now they can play at the NHL level and play well. You know, maybe you can still be on the lookout for that move to maybe upgrade the defense and part with one of your forwards. But if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right, dude?
That's,
you know, so you certainly
right. Shouldn't
be meddling. But you know, if you're watching this team right now, what if you're Doug Wilson,
mm-hmm.
which you're not?
No.
But if you were,
okay,
what's to make you think that this is different from last year's team? Why do you believe that you're not going to have the same hiccups as last year?
Simple statement. We've touched on it almost every show so far this year. Third and fourth line role playing. Production and the style, right? We saw tonight exactly the opposite. We see Marcel Gotch happens to score a goal, fine. Gets killed in the faceoff dot, not physical at all. On the other side, Scott Nichol pulls the anti-Travis Moen performance and hit everything that moves tonight.
Right.
Travis Moen plays against the Ducks, doesn't want to hit his old buds. No. Scott Nichol, no, that's not it. In one shift, it looked like he actually got hurt. It was a penalty. They were killing a penalty. He looked hurt. Another guy had lost his stick, so it was almost like a 5-on-2. It wasn't looking good, and you see Scott Nichol go to the bench, and he's stretching it out, and you're like, uh-oh, and I wonder if he's going to come back. And then the next thing I know, he's planting someone into the boards, doesn't miss a shift, and he hits someone really hard the very next shift. So in a nutshell, it's Nichol, it's Ortmeier, and it's Malhotra. That's the reason why this team is different.
Dude, I was stunned today to read about Jed Ortmeier's injury history.
Yeah.
Did you read that article in the Merc today?
I did.
And I didn't know any of this, and it kind of explains maybe why, you know, he's bounced around a little bit, because you know, I admit that I kind of treated Jed, you know, with a little bit of a, I shortchanged him a little bit at the beginning of the year. I didn't really believe that he was going to have the impact that he's having on the bottom six right now. He's playing very well. He's very physical. He seems to be one of those guys who just kind of sticks his nose in anywhere, you know, and will do anything to finish plays, to stand in front of the net, to do the dirty work. And that's been severely lacking for the Sharks in the last couple of years. Guys like that are willing to do that consistently. But he's been fighting with blood clots, seems like, for the last couple of years when he gets surgery. He got blood clots in his lungs. And
that's life-threatening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was in the hospital, it seems, you know, for a long time. He was out for months. That seems to be why they parted ways with the Rangers. You know, they're obviously concerned for his health. And then when he had another surgery when he was in Nashville, he wasn't able to make it back to the big club. I mean, this guy clearly is not a minor league player.
No. Well, he was against Nashville, and I think that's why maybe he wasn't so happy about that situation, and that's why he left town. But yeah, I think it's pretty obvious watching him play this year. This guy isn't an AHL quality player. He's much better than that. And maybe it's just the fact that he has to, you know, he has to give himself shots of blood thinners every day.
In his stomach.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, I could see how people might be a little squeamish about that. You know, I think
it's the timing of it too. That's just outrageous.
Yeah. I mean, in the culture of hockey is that you don't want to admit, you know, injuries as it is. So the fact that he has to, you know, give himself shots under certain conditions, I mean, that's a really scary thing. And
sometimes I have to take shots before we do the podcast.
Right, right. But that's Jägermeister, dude. That's not Coumadin.
Well, it does go into my stomach.
This is true, and that's where the similarities end. But yeah, I mean, Jed Ortmeier, I mean, you got to have a lot more. I certainly have more respect for him now than I ever have.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he's playing well. Actually, dude, we do have a question. The email address is questions@dudesonhockey.com. This is from Jack. And he says, Jack, hey dudes, love the show and have been listening since week six. Jack, it's pretty good.
You're hardcore, Jack.
Go one more, you get a set of steak knives. He says, I have a quick question. I've noticed Alex Stalock has been doing real well down in Worcester this year. And I'm wondering if the Sharks don't re-sign Nabby after this year, if you guys could see him challenge Greiss for the starting job or even win it outright. Through the season so far, his stats are better than Greiss's were in the AHL last year, and he's getting a lot more playing time considering Greiss has been on the bench most of this season. So dude, what's this deal? How is this Greiss? What's the hierarchy right now of goaltenders in the Sharks organization? Because that's really, I think, what Jack is asking.
Ooh. Well, we know that Greiss was signed in the offseason to a two-year deal. This year's a two-way contract. Next year's one-way. So Greiss is guaranteed to be on the Sharks next year, or he has to go through waivers. And for sure, we will lose him if he goes through waivers. Someone's going to claim him because he's not making any money.
Right?
He's making, you know, $500,000-$600,000. I think the key for Greiss was that he wasn't going to be have the option to be sent down. They could send down Greiss right now.
They could.
You know, they won't. But unless he starts playing poorly. But I think it's a really valid question that we've talked about. And from what I've seen of both players, I think Alex Stalock is the better goaltender. And I haven't seen much of him, but he seems impressive. And the thing that I like about Stalock, he gets compared to Martin Brodeur in the way that he seems to be just a leader on the team.
Dude. Right. Yeah, I like that. He certainly seemed to lead his Minnesota Duluth team to the Frozen Four. That's you know, that's a really good thing.
These are some pretty wild stats for Stalock this year. Nine games, he is 6-2-1. His save percentage is .931.
Wow.
And his goals against, dude, is 1.84.
That's unbelievable. That's unreal.
I mean, those are pretty awesome stats.
That's amazing.
Greiss had a great year last year in Worcester, and he took the team to a play. Now, I mean, and Worcester's like one of the top teams in the AHL this year so far, which is very encouraging, you know, for the Sharks and their farm system, which has really taken some lumps in the last couple of years as far as being weak. You know, Greiss last year, to compare the numbers, had a 2.47 goals against and a .907 save percentage. You consider that Stalock is you know, improving on that goals against by over half a goal a game.
Right.
And his save percentage is, you know, 3 percentage points higher than that. That's very good.
So the question is the backup goalie spot the window seat? You know, is it the vice president's job where you actually, you sit there, but you don't actually get to do anything good? And that may be the situation, right? They really want to put Stalock through his paces. But, I mean, I want to see more starts out of Greiss. I still do, because there's nothing that says this guy's a bad goaltender.
No.
So I don't think we should portray him.
I don't think that we could, you know, expect that next year. I would think that if Stalock is coming up and he's going to play, I could very well see a timeshare situation for the first year.
Or Jack, you could just win it outright, as you say, but that's something that they're going to decide in training camp. It's certainly not going to be his to lose in camp next year. If Nabby doesn't come back, that's not going to be the situation. It's going to be Greiss's to lose next year if that's the situation, assuming everybody sticks around, right? And there's no crazy trades or anything like that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they threw in like a Dwayne Rollison type into the camp mix also.
Oh, really?
Well, I mean, just to give the guys some veteran competition. Mm-hmm. So you don't just have Sexsmith and Greiss and Stalock, and if they all kind of suck eggs,
yeah,
and you're sitting in there going, hello, Manny Fernandez, are you available? Does anyone have Dan Cloutier's number?
Exactly.
You know?
Right. Tom Barrasso.
Hey, Manny Legacy has work now. He's filling in for Cam Ward in Carolina.
Oh, that's right. I did read that.
Good for him.
I did read that. So
good for him. Speaking of prospects, I've done a little bit of, I'm keeping track of some of the Sharks prospects right now, and I just want to kind of do a real, real quick rundown here for you.
Cool.
So you can see how some of the prospects are doing. We've got Samuel Gruel in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League.
Not to be confused, if you read SharksMajor.com, you get Worcester updates, and there's a Gruel on that team.
Danny Gruel, and
he's 27 or 20 years
old. He's a lifetime minor leaguer
who
has really good stats in the AHL. He has played zero NHL games.
Yeah.
So there must be something wrong with this guy's game as far as, you know, he's got holes in his game. Nick Petrecki, PS, plus three for the Worcester Sharks, leads all defensemen in plus minus.
Nice.
It's exactly what you want to see from him. Samuel Gruel, in 21 games, he has 16 points, which leads all defensemen on that team, and they are one of the top teams in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League.
Who does he play
for?
And
he has 26 PIMs, the Quebec Ramparts.
Oh, the Ramparts. That's where Marc-Edouard Vlasic played.
Right. William Wren, who was a prospect that we drafted this last year. He was our top pick this last year.
In the second round.
Right. Playing University of Denver. Last I checked, University of Denver is ranked number 2 in the nation.
Yeah. Great, great collegiate hockey team.
And he's playing every game. 9 games, 3 points, 16 penalty minutes. So as a freshman, he's playing.
He's playing on a top NCAA team.
And he's in the mix. So I found that to be encouraging. Other things, you know, we've talked about Patrick White and the University of Minnesota. And they got off to just a terrible start. But now all of a sudden he's got 6 points in 8 games. So he's come on and he had like 1 point in 4 games last time I checked. So he's really turned it on lately. He's had a couple of big games, so he's coming out of it. The two that I found to be the most interesting here, Phil Verone, drafted last year, 18 points in 18 games. He's having a great year for the London Knights. Mm-hmm. And then Marek Videnski.
Right. Another draft pick this year in 2009.
Prince George Cougars is leading them in scoring, 14 points in 15 games.
Nice.
So, you know, we've got some guys that are definitely Thomas Heems Kirk.
Yeah, he's a goaltender.
For Everett, has a .923 save percentage and a .237 goals allowed.
That's good.
So we've got some prospects that are performing well, dude. But this is the one, dude. We said we were going to talk about Daniel Elrich, right? The kid.
We did.
Rudy.
Oh, yeah,
Rudy
from the
rookie camp.
I forgot.
This kid lit it on fire. He's an unsigned rookie. He played for the London. He's playing for the London Knights. He's got 18 points in 19 games. There's zero chance this kid's going to go undrafted.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that, you know, we've got Phil Verone there. I'm sure our scouts are watching. I'm calling it, dude. Daniel Elrich is going to be drafted by the Sharks. I just think it's going to happen.
Nice.
I like him. He's like a little Mighty Mouse guy.
He is. Sort of in the Scott Nickel mold.
I don't know. I think he's got it. He didn't have as much. He was kind of pesky, but he wasn't as nasty as Nickel.
Right. But he had skill. Maybe even like Scott Nickel meets Martin St. Louis.
I was going to say, he reminded me more of a Martin St. Louis type skill. I mean, he's so extremely skilled.
And quick.
So anyways, I'm keeping an eye on this. And, you know, you can always get great information about Sharks prospects on Sharks page. Mm-hmm. They always have great info. So I'll keep you posted throughout the year, dude.
Thanks, dude. That's awesome. Let's see. What else? Oh.
What about the Detroit game? We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
You can't be great all the time.
I know. I thought we were frankly lucky to get a point. I mean, people might be not happy about the goal that Detroit got in regulation and how it was under Nabby's pad and Zetterberg, slammed into Nabby's pad with his stick and managed to dislodge the puck into the net and the whistle should have blown, blah, blah, blah. But the fact is that Detroit had, four, five, six, seven quality scoring chances in the third period when the Sharks were floundering, barely finding a way to hold on, and they could have scored in any one of those opportunities. So I that's a good away point against a great team that plays well at home, and that the Sharks have 4 wins in 30 something games. I mean, they have just a wretched record at Joe Louis Arena.
Dude, there are two teams that are undefeated in regulation at home. One of them is our very own San Jose Sharks. Mm-hmm. The other one is?
At home. Well, it's not the Colorado Avalanche because they just lost to the Vancouver Canucks.
They are 6-1.
So I'm going to have to go with Buffalo.
Buffalo is 5-2-1.
Oof. I was going to say New Jersey, but I know they're great on the road and not great at home.
That's right. New Jersey undefeated on the road, 8-0.
So I give up, dude.
Tampa Bay Lightning, 4-0-3 at home.
What the hell?
It's no joke.
Okay.
Just saying, dude.
I never would have been my 30th guess.
We ran into that juggernaut last time we were on the road trip.
We certainly did.
They lit it up. How mortified are you that the Red Wings are going to stink it up and then be the 8 seed?
That's not going to happen. They're going to come back. Now we saw that tonight, Nashville's not that great. Chris Mason, unfortunately, to the detriment of my fantasy team, isn't playing all that fantastically in Columbus. They might fade a little bit. Blackhawks have some trouble. St. Louis is really, although St. Louis won big tonight, I think they've been really sucking. So I think, that could
be. Ducks are struggling too.
That could end up being a weak division. So
possible.
I think the Red Wings will have a lot of opportunities for points.
Dude, we are almost already at the quarter mark for the season. The Sharks have played 19 games. 13-4-2, 28 points. You got to feel pretty good right now, right?
I feel really good. Sharks haven't lost in regulation at home.
Well, we know that feeling.
Yes. Yes, we do.
And I think one thing you brought up on the blog is that you're tired of already hearing people talk about, it doesn't matter till the playoffs. I mean, can't we enjoy this?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Can't we?
Yes.
I mean, sure. I think it's in the back of our minds.
We're hockey fans and we want the Sharks to do great in the playoffs, but part of being a hockey fan is just enjoying hockey.
Absolutely.
And not becoming obsessive about.
And we've seen improvement. Like, this team is better than last year's team. This team would beat last year's team.
I think you're right.
And that's all you can ask for. And I'm very pleased with how it's going. I hope all Sharks fans are.
I hope so too. And speaking of the blog, dude, we did successfully move the blog over to dudesonhockey.com.
You're being very kind when you say we. You moved the blog, dude. You did it with your technical nerdy savvy.
It's the royal we.
All you did was text me and say that you were done, and I said, good job, dude. Good job.
But anyway.
But I did figure out how to use some of the fancy new features today.
Yeah, there's some cool features. So definitely, if you're not reading the blog at dudesonhockey.com, go ahead and start, because it's going to be that simple. You can go there to get the podcast. It's going to be part of the feed on the website. So it's one-stop shopping for Dudes on Hockey fun.
Good stuff,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Let's see. Do I have any? Oh, final. Let's do some notes around the league. Jaguar traded to Toronto. I heard that rumor today. Could Brian Burke go get Jean-Sebastian Jaguar? And his old goaltender coaches in Toronto.
Yeah, he said something about, how he would rather retire than be a backup, is what Jaguar said. So
I think that's pretty much an admission that he would waive his no movement clause in order to go anywhere where he would
start. I guess so, but is he the starter over
the monster?
The monster?
Not right now.
Like, for sure?
Not right now.
How's the monster doing? I haven't even looked.
He's doing pretty good. I had a good week last week on my fantasy team. It was funny that we played each other in both fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
And my crappy team won and my good team lost. So I don't know how that worked out, but it did.
Dude, I would love to see Toskala in Anaheim. I think that'd be a great move for the Sharks.
All we need to get is Rob Davison back, and then he can score 200-foot goals again.
Wow. That'd be a great trade for Toronto, I suppose. It would just continue to make them a little bit better, stabilize their goaltending situation, allow them to have the flexibility that if they, the monster after 1 year is going to ask for too much money and he walks, they've got Jaguar for one more. May as well. I mean, you know, they're still trying to figure things out up there, and I know they lost tonight. The Maple Leafs did. So the Phil Kessel deal seems to be looking okay for them right now. He's been playing pretty well since he got back. Dude, I said it before the season started, dude, and I'm sticking to it. The Chicago Blackhawks are freaking cursed. Dave Poland is out 3 to 4 months with back surgery.
Yeah, that's bad.
They are going down, dude. I'm just telling you that they may be playing well now, but Taze has already been out with like a concussion problem.
Yeah.
And we know that, I mean, he's one more hit away from, you know, wondering, you know, if he plays for the Golden State Warriors or something, he's going to wake up. He's going to be unsure what planet he's on.
Right.
You know, Bolin's out. Hossa has not come back yet. They're also missing.
Who are they missing?
They're missing someone else, dude. There's another player that they're missing, and I can't remember it.
Troy Brower?
That might be it.
Okay.
That they have several injuries going on right now, and I just think that somehow they've offended the hockey gods. And the Blackhawks, you know, they'll make the playoffs, but I think early exit for Chicago, dude. You think I'm nuts?
I don't think you're nuts, especially if Huet doesn't come back and he's not playing great in goal. You need to have a good goaltender in the playoffs, and they just don't right now. But, dude, we're running out of time. That takes us to the end of this week's episode of Dudes on Hockey. Check us out, dudesonhockey.com.
That we've got no other site to promote, dude. We've got our big radio show coming up in a couple weeks.
That's right. The 6th of December. It's going to be on 1220 a.m. From 8 to 10 p.m. on a Sunday night. We'll be giving more details about that in the following weeks. And we will definitely be back again next week, same time, same place.
Dude, it's always a pleasure.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.